Hey guys, this is Rose, and if you're listening to this, you found the Rose Quinn Podcast.
This is the Rose Quinn Podcast.
Treasure rejection.
The community is so great.
It's going to be like my breakout story.
That I realized I really didn't like where my life was.
Yeah.
And I was going to pursue my dreams.
The Rose Quinn Podcast.
This is the Rose Quinn Podcast. Hey guys, it's Rose, and it's been a while. I have been out of the podcast writing Twitter game for about 6 weeks doing a work training for a new job, which is super exciting. I am now officially a flight attendant, which is sort of like the best actual job to have when you're a writer, because now I don't have to work 9 to 5 anymore, and it's the loveliest thing in the world. I do have some really early mornings though, but it's fine. It's worth it. But that's why you guys haven't heard from me in a while. And I apologize for that. I wanted to try and have different episodes come out during my training, but in the weeks leading up to it, I just didn't have the brain capacity or the time for it. And I was sort of figured during my training I'd have time to edit and get some new episodes out for you, because I have some awesome people who I interviewed months ago who I want you to hear all about them in their books. But I just literally had no time to do anything after studying and flying and being exhausted. So I do apologize, but we're back and we've got some awesome people for you to listen to. The next couple episodes will probably be a little bit different, because I just want you guys to hear these interviews that these wonderful authors recorded with me a couple months ago. So you'll get a short intro from me, and not so much of a what I normally do when I talk about a certain topic. But we'll get back to that in a little bit once my life starts to make sense again. But today we have Julia Lynn Rubin, who is an amazing author whose debut book came out on March 20th, Burrow Hills. So if you guys haven't read it yet, what are you doing? You definitely need to make sure that it is in your to-be-read pile, and you want to make sure you follow her on social media, because she is amazing and hysterical and so intelligent and like knowledgeable about this industry that we're in. Her handle on Twitter is Julia Lynn Rubin, LynnRubin. And her Instagram is Swiss Beauty. She's so awesome. She's the sweetest. Our interview mostly is focused on writing, but we also talk about a couple other things like multi-level marketing and going to modeling camp and fashion camp. It's an awesome time, and I hope you guys get to know her a little bit and you put her book in your to-be-read list, because it is awesome. You can get it on Kindle for $6.99 right now, or buy it on paperback. It's actually a number one new release right now because she's so amazing, and it's a super awesome book. So I hope you all enjoy getting to know Julia, and make sure that you read her debut novel and show her some love.
Hi.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How did you save those kids in Panera from the multi-level marketing?
Oh my God, you saw that?
I did.
Oh, I was so stressed out. I didn't know what to do, because there were like a bunch of them seated around this guy, and like I feel like if I said something, he would have like deflected me.
Probably.
So I wrote one of them a note and I passed it to them, and I was like, this is a scam, don't do this, it's a pyramid scheme. And then I left. I was so freaked out.
Okay, but at least you gave one of them a note. Like, if you had tried. Yeah, if you had said something in front of him, he probably would have been like, you're dumb, go away. But at least you tried.
He would have been like, this is an example of someone we don't want on our team.
Exactly. Oh, that's so sad.
I know. It was really heartbreaking. They were like in high school, and I was like, oh my God, you're a scumbag.
Yeah. Like, just let them keep the little money that they have. They don't need to give
it to you.
Oh boy.
He kept asking them questions like, what do you guys want to save your money for? Like, help your family, right? And I was like, oh my God.
No, they just like want to go to the movies.
I know.
Oh goodness. Well, thanks for chatting with me. I'm super excited to have you on my podcast, and your novel that you have coming out looks so awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be on the podcast.
Yeah. So To get started, can you tell us a little bit about Borough Hills? Just give us like a little blurb for it.
Sure. So we pitch Borough Hills as The Outsiders meets Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I love that.
And thank you. And it's about a 17-year-old boy named Jack, and he lives in this like seedy town of Southern California, and he falls in love with the new boy who comes to town, who comes to school, and it kind of sets into motion these consequences because with his family, with his friends, and it gets really intense. And I guess that's all I'll say on the story because I don't want to give anything away.
Of course.
But that's sort of what I tell people when they ask.
I love it. That sounds so awesome.
Thank you.
I think that's super cool, and I love, and, you know, I was, like, looking over your website a little bit, and I think it's really important to show that diversity in the YA genre. I know at least when I was growing up and reading a lot of books in YA, I don't feel like there was that much diversity, so I feel like, you know, we're progressing and, you know, more stories are being written about, you know, being gay or bisexual or things like that, which I think is important because it's a hard thing to... you know, figure out and, you know, you're trying to find out who you are. So I think it's great that you're writing a story that someone who is struggling with that can pick it up and be like, oh, I have something to relate to. There's people like me that are, you know, having these same, you know, going through this same struggle.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. 'Cause when I was in high school, one of the books that was really transformative for me was, Speak by Laurie Halse Anderson.
Oh yeah.
And that I read that book so many times. It was so worn out, and I actually met her a few years ago, or like a year ago actually, and I got her to autograph it, and it was amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. I remember reading that book too.
Yeah, and that book stuck with me, and I read her other books, but it was, and I loved them, but it was that book that I read over and over, and the main character was dealing with, like, really, you know, she's dealing with trauma and depression.
Yeah.
And horrible anxiety, and it spoke to me so much, and I feel like it was a groundbreaking book too, because I remember at the time YA wasn't as it wasn't as realistic necessarily. Like, there was realistic YA, but that was sort of it was a game-changing book.
Yeah, it was.
It was released in 1999.
That's crazy. That seems like so long ago.
I could be wrong. I'm probably getting this wrong, but it was released pretty early, and it sort of set this new trend, not set a trend, but it kind of helped usher in like a new kind of young adult literature. I think that's why that book is often placed strategically in bookstores, like realistic fiction, because it was a game changer. And I feel like now we're seeing this like wave of this incredible wave of diverse fiction in young adult, and it's just so important that kids see themselves in literature and like see themselves represented in an authentic way.
Oh yeah.
Not just represented. I think like they definitely see through it when like someone writes them and it's clearly written by someone who has no idea who they are,
yes,
what they've been through, and they
for
know
sure.
that, and they're like, okay, I'm not gonna read this, like,
right,
this is not, this feels like a Lifetime movie or like an after school special.
Yeah.
And they want to read authentic voices, and I love that that's happening in YA, and I hope it continues continues to grow.
When does it come out again? March 20th?
Yeah, March 20th.
That's so great. That's like gonna be here before we even know it.
I know. I'm excited and I'm terrified. It's a very strange feeling.
Oh, I totally understand that. I bet. Like, you're excited for it to come out, but then it's like, oh, people are going to read it and have opinions about it.
Yeah, I'm like, people are going to read it. Oh, wait. People are going to read
it. People are going to read it.
Oh no.
I know. The struggle of being a writer. That's how I feel.
are you a writer too, right? I think I saw in your Twitter bio you were an author of something.
Yeah, I am not published. I'm in the query process for my novel.
Oh.
I finished in 2016 and, you know, I'm working on another one right now, but not published yet, but someday.
That's so awesome. Is it young adult or is it adult? Or
it's, I would say it's new adult. It's a dystopian novel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
that's so cool.
It's a little off like genre for me. I typically write crime fiction, but I had just like I was doing a writing prompt at a conference and got this idea for it and kind of just like fell into 350 pages of a novel. So
that's so awesome.
I love it. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, good luck on the querying process. I wish you the best of luck. I know it's really stressful and terrifying, but it's awesome you're doing it.
Yeah, it's super stressful. And it's like, you know, I think it's just hard to search through all of the agents that are out there because there are so many to know, like, oh, which are the ones I should really spend my time sending emails to, because it seems like it would be a fast process to just, like, shoot a quick email off. But I feel like it's takes a lot longer than you would think.
Yeah, and you have to vet agents. You have to be like, are they looking for what I'm writing?
Exactly.
And are they someone who'd be interested? And sometimes you really just don't know, and you kind of have to just be like, hi.
Take a shot in the dark. Yep.
Because sometimes they don't specify on their website exactly what they want.
Yeah. Would you be able, though, to tell us just how that process went for you, how, you know, querying Borough Hills and talking to agents, like what are your tips or just kind of recommendations for it?
Yeah, definitely. I did not query the best way. I know looking back, I made a lot of mistakes. But I was very determined and I was very hungry for an agent. So that did help me to an extent.
Yeah.
But I probably should have been a little more strategic, which is something I really recommend people do when they query, is to come up with like 10 or 15 top agents and then like come up with a pool of other agents, you know, and just, I did research, but I really, it was like, I think I had finished my book. It was like 2015. It was early 2015. I finally finished it, or I'd finished a draft of it, because it went through so many more revisions during the querying process.
For sure.
Yeah. And I didn't expect that. I didn't know what I was doing. And I did so much research. I went on Agent Query Connect, which is a really fantastic resource.
I love that website.
It's so great, and their forum is so helpful. Mm-hmm. And I went on Absolute Right, which can be overwhelming because it's such a massive forum, but it's so helpful, and the community there is great. And I just did a lot of research, and I read like the query, the Query Shark, or like she like the snarky, yeah.
I love her so much. I've read all of the Query Shark archives.
Yeah, she's so funny.
But
she's so helpful, and I posted my query. I wrote a query. I wrote so many drafts of it, and I posted it in all these forums, and I was like, I did so many versions. And then once I had one that I was like pretty, you know, okay, I think this is it, I sent it out starting in March, and I ended up querying like almost like 100 agents, which is wild because I think I queried like everyone that was interested in YA and I queried people like in other countries.
I
like, I don't care. I want an agent. And then looking back again, it was like so ridiculous in a way because I was not strategic, but I definitely, you know, it was really funny because the day after I sent my first round of queries, I got a full request and I was so excited. It was from this agent I really wanted to work with, and she's, you know, she's so great. And I was like so ecstatic, and I sent my full manuscript, and eventually she said no, but she was very flattering. And it was just like okay. And it kind of gave me this motivation to keep going because I had gotten one so quickly. And I didn't get a ton of requests. I got a handful of like fulls and partial requests, and then I started getting feedback from agents, and then I started being like, all right, maybe I should think about revising my manuscript because I'm getting similar feedback.
Yeah.
So I got some beta readers and critique partners, again, on those forums, which was really helpful. And I did some pretty extensive revisions, and I revised my query. And it was, I think it was like 8 months later in August, and it was like a month before I was going to start my MFA program at the new school.
Yeah.
And I got an email from Sarita Hernandez, and she was like, I think this slipped through the cracks. And I had queried her in March, and she was like, but I really am looking for something like this. Like, can you please send me the full? And I was like, oh, she's really excited about
this.
This
is
cool. Yeah, I sent her the full. She read it, like, really quickly. And then she was like, I'd love to talk about potential or possible representation. And I was like, what?
You're like, is this real? Is this happening?
I know. I was like, oh. It kind of felt like, oh, it kind of felt like, okay, this is it. Like, this is someone who was excited from the beginning.
Yeah.
I had a few fulls out at the time, and I emailed those agents, and one of them was like, okay, I'll read within 2 weeks. Another one was like, we don't have time. So I was like, I think I'm going to go with Sarita because I talked to her on the phone, and she was so passionate about the book and my writing and the voice. And I was like, yes, like, okay, I want to work with you. And she's my agent now.
That's
and
awesome.
She's great. Yeah.
It's always just good to hear, like, it pays off. Like, eventually, after you query even 100 agents, like, you'll find one.
Oh, my gosh. And I queried, I also, like, in between, like, again, this is not something I recommend, but I was querying, like, small presses, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, well, if I can't find an agent for this book, maybe a smaller press will take it. And you're not supposed to do that while you're querying agents, but
right.
I didn't know that at the time.
You're breaking some rules, Julia. It's fine.
A little bit. and I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh. But, you know, that's how you learn. And I feel like I'm so glad I went through all of that because I know so much more now and I'm wiser and I can give people advice.
Yeah.
And I got really good at revising people's queries because I would just go on those forums and like edit people's queries for them and give them feedback, and so I got good at it. Querying is hard.
Querying is so hard.
It's very hard.
Yeah, it's like such a struggle. And I've been on Agent Query Connect and posted my query letter and got really awesome feedback, because when I was writing my query letter, I was just thinking about the things that I thought were important, but it's like I was writing it as the writer who knows all the background that makes it make sense. And so when I posted to Agent Query Connect, people, you know, asked me all these questions, and I was like, oh, that is actually really important to include. You know, they wouldn't know that, obviously, because they didn't write the whole book and don't know, but it's like something important. So I love those forums because it's great to just have someone else who's completely outside of your novel be like, wait, here you go. Here's what's really important that you're not thinking about because you're like too deep inside of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same with anyone who reads the entire novel or mm-hmm. part of your novel. They're going to see things that you've read it so many times. You're so, like you said, you're so deep in it that you have all these blind spots.
Oh,
and
for
I
sure.
think that's why having outside readers is so important. And I think those communities are so great. Everyone's so supportive and
yeah.
like helpful. And I think that's what's so amazing about the writing community in general, especially YA. But in general, people are just very like, I want to help you.
Right. Because we all want each other to succeed. It's while we all want to be published someday and, you know, have our book in a bookstore, it's like you want your friends to have that too, or even, you know, people you've never seen their face before that you just know from the internet. Like, of course I want them to succeed. So you're going to be nice. You're going to be helpful, but like not just like sugarcoat it so that they feel okay about it.
Yeah. It's like a win for them is like a win for everyone
yeah.
who's a writer in a way.
For sure. I love it. Well, that's so awesome. I feel like that what you're saying about, you know, being more strategic with the agents, that's something that I need to do, because when I put together my list of agents to query, I was just like, here's every single one that's interested
right.
in this genre, and I'll just do all of them. But I haven't been doing it for a couple months because I've been working on some revisions to my manuscript. So that's something when I go back and really start querying that I'll try and be more focused with who I'm querying.
Yeah, and I would look at their manuscript list
yeah.
and try and see like who their clients are, and mm-hmm. like again, it's hard to know. It's sort of like when you're trying to, I don't know if you submitted to Larry magazines, but you can sort of make educated guesses if they'd like your work, but you ultimately can only do so much research. But yeah, it's good to have some knowledge of like what they like.
Yeah, because I mean, and I feel like there are some websites that are better for that than, well, you can go to like just like the databases that have just like, you know, every agent ever, but it's like then you need to go to their website and find the correct website if the link is dead and all of that. So it can be some work, but I definitely think that's important. That's a good thing to remember.
Yeah, and even not following them necessarily, like literally following them, if you feel like that would be a conflict of interest, but following them on Twitter and just seeing like what they're into and like, just getting a sense of their taste. Because I know with my agent, when I found her website years ago, I was like, oh, I think she's going to like my book. I just had this feeling based on her manuscript wish list and like the way she wrote about what she wanted. And I was like, huh, I think she might like me. And I didn't really have that feeling with a ton of agents, so a lot of them were like, I'm looking for young adult literature, and that's like all they'd say, or
that's so general.
And I was like, okay. Or they're like, I selectively take on young adult clients, and I was like, okay, well, this is not gonna happen for me, but I'm gonna send them a query.
I'll just try anyway, it's fine.
Basically. And it's funny because when I was getting rejections, even though I went through a lot of like ups and downs and I definitely cried a few times, I didn't really like, it's like, it's not that I didn't care. It's that I was just like, oh, all right, who's next on my list?
Yeah. I queried like this ridiculous novel that was just the worst when I was in high school, but you know, I thought it was,
oh, that's so cool.
I thought it was so good, but I think this like, the idea of it is good. It's just like, I was in high school, so it wasn't great. But I queried, and I remember being so upset. Like, oh my gosh, they hate me. I'm never going to get published.
Aww.
And now, like, some of the responses I've gotten back, I feel that same way, where I'm just like, okay, that's fine. There's another agent out there. Or I love the ones where I get back where they're a little bit more personalized, and they give me some feedback, or, like, I've had some recommend other agents to query. Like, oh, I think this agent might be more interested. I'm like, oh, okay, I love that. That makes me feel better than just, like, a, you know, a form rejection. But still, the form rejections, I'm like, that's okay. There's a million other agents I can query. I'll just do the next one.
And then there's the no responses when you're like, all right, well, I guess that's a no.
Right. I'm like, because I keep track of like when I send the email, and I don't know how.
Same.
And
that's
what
I did.
And I'm like, okay, they never responded. That's fine. We'll just move on from there. I feel like as I've gotten, you know, older and just kind of learned more about the industry, my skin is a little thicker, and I'm just like, I don't take it as personally, because I know they don't mean it personally. They're just, you know, they're looking for a specific thing, and that's fine.
It's like dating. Like, you're not going to fall in love with everyone you meet.
And that's okay with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you could be a perfectly nice, attractive book, but I don't want to marry your book, so.
And that's okay. That's all right. Because I don't, you need to be married to just, like, one book at a time, and...
Right. And it's good agents are selective. I think people sometimes lose sight of that, because if they weren't, they'd have this, like, never-ending client list that they'd barely pay attention to, and it's like, you want them to have a very carefully cultivated list. You want them to focus on books they're passionate about. You don't want them to take on random people that they're just like, oh, well, this person seems nice.
Yeah, because you want them to truly care about you and your work and put the time and effort into making it succeed.
Exactly. And people forget, I think sometimes people in the querying trenches often lose sight of the fact that they have other clients, you know, like they have, they're trying to sell their current clients' books. They're trying to get right, you know, sell rights for their current clients' books. They're revising their manuscripts. They're doing all these other things. And then when they have time, they're looking at their queries.
They're like hundreds of query emails.
Oh, like thousands. Yeah. I mean, and they often have assistants that read them and like auto reject ones that like don't fit what they're looking for. So I think sometimes people think it's like this, like you said, it's not personal at all. It's just a very like, oh, that wouldn't fit my list. And I've even gotten agents who are like, you're a great writer, but this book is not something I can sell.
Right.
And I was like, okay, That's fair.
Yeah, thank like, you. I understand. That makes sense.
Yeah, I was like, and then I was like, oh no, wait, I need to fix this book.
Well, because I, you know, it's, I think writing for authors is, can be very personal. We put a lot into our books, but it's like, we do have to remember when agents are looking at it, it's a business for them. It's their job. They're trying to look at what they can feasibly actually sell and make profitable. So I think it, you know, we're just coming at it from a different perspective than them. So we've got to, you know, keep our head in their shoes a little bit to be like, okay, I understand why they're saying no. I'm not going to take it personal and go cry in my bedroom.
And honestly, once you go on submission, you understand why they're so picky, because you think agent querying is hard. Like, submission's another story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, instead of like having all these, you feel sort of limitless with querying in a sense. You're like, oh, you know, if I don't, this agent says no, there's a lot of great agents out there. With editors, it's like, if this editor says no, that book's dead at that, like at that imprint usually, or like at that editor, and try again next time. And you're just like, you have a limited amount right. of editors, and the no's feel really like no's. So that's, and you're like, that's why they're picky. Because right. they can't.
That's why they're even so if, picky.
I mean, because, try trying to sell it to an editor. Like, that's a whole, there's, and a house.
Yeah.
Because even if the editor loves it, and the editor's like, I want to buy this book, their publisher could be like, we can't sell this, or, yeah.
Oh, this, it's just like, you get through round one, and then you got to go to round two and round three and see if you make it through.
It's on absolute right, they call it like the next circle of hell when you have an agent. And then there's like the 10th circle, which is when you're trying to, when you have a book deal and you're trying to then be an author.
Oh, perfect. So I'm so excited for that, Julia. Thanks for letting me in on the secret.
It's a beautiful Dante's Inferno, but yeah. You know, that's like you said, it's a business. And I think that's the other thing is people get so, even I often get caught up in the business aspect, and I have to remind myself why I do this. Like, I love writing, and I love, I love sharing my work with people, and I love them reading it, and that's what excites me. And I think if you get too into the business aspect, sometimes it feels kind of clinical and like, oh, I need to devise a manuscript that will sell copies, as opposed to, I'm going to write a story that resonates with me.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a hard balance.
Oh. We've picked such a interesting thing to do for the rest of our lives, haven't we?
It's kind of a masochistic career.
It is.
But like, but it's also so great, because when you do get those yeses, they're so much, they mean so much.
Because you
know how impossible, like, you know how hard it is. Yeah. And like, so when you get the yes and you get the affirmative, it's like, whoa.
Like, wait, did that just happen? Like, I just can't even, like, I'm sure when you got those emails from the agent who is now your agent, you were probably like, wait, is this real life? What's happening?
I was like, kind of, it was surreal. I was like, oh, I wasn't even like, I was excited, but I think I was, it was all, it also been like almost a year, and I was just sort of so tired.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. All right, cool. And it wasn't until I like talked to her on the phone that I fully believed it. I think I was like, oh, that's interesting.
This could be a spam email. It's fine. We'll see if she's a real person.
That's how I react when I like got a short story, my first short story acceptance, and I was like, is this a joke? I was like walking down the street, and I was like, oh, that's not real.
that's a fake email for sure.
Yeah, we get into these weird like mindsets where we're just like, you get so many no's that you start to go, oh, maybe I just shouldn't write. And then you get one yes and you're like, oh,
I feel that way someday too. I'm like, oh, my work is just the worst. Like, I'm the worst writer. And then
everyone thinks they're the worst writer.
I know. And then I'll have a really good day where I'm like, no, this book is like the greatest. And I'm such a good like author. I'm going to be great. It's just,
isn't it the best though, when you get those highs and you're like, I'm the best writer ever.
I like when I did NaNoWriMo this year with a crime fiction novel. And I am like, not even ashamed to say, when I wrote the ending to it, I like cried a little bit because
I cried too when I write my endings.
It was so good. And like, it just,
I know what you mean.
I was like crying in Starbucks writing it, and I was like, I'm not even ashamed because this is amazing.
People in Starbucks were like, this girl needs help, or they were like, oh no, this poor woman. I cried too. When I did the last revisions of Borough Hills, and I figured out what the ending was, I literally sat there and cried for like 5 minutes. I was like, my book is amazing. It was so funny.
It's like the best kind of cry. And like, I felt a little bit stupid, but then I was like, no, I'm embracing this.
It's cathartic.
Yeah. Because I spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours writing that novel. And I was like, okay, I'm done. And it's great. And I feel good. And I can go have a big cup of coffee now.
Oh, no. And you're going to, and once you like find an agent, and like, you're going to cry a lot more. And it's this amazing cry. It's like this sort of victory. It's like, yeah. It's like when people like win a marathon or like run a marathon and they're done. Are they like, and people, you see them on TV who've like made some crazy, they've won like a game show and they're just sobbing. It's like that feeling of like, I did it. Oh my God.
I love it. I'm so excited to cry more about my book in a good
hopefully
way.
Happy. Yeah. Yes. Hopefully like more positive cries, yeah. And not despair and I'm going to give up, which I've had many episodes of. Oh, so I really hope you don't have any more of those, or if you've had any. They're hard.
I haven't really had any during the query process for This Dead World. I feel like I've been really good about keeping, you know, not being affected by, you know, the form reject. So I haven't had any about it yet. So hopefully I don't have any, but we'll see.
Okay, I'm really proud of you, and I wish you the best of luck, because it's hard.
Yes.
But you're doing great.
I'm excited. Someday it'll be published. And I try and think, I'm a very impatient person. So this is like,
me too,
a very hard thing for me. But it's like, I just try and remember, like, I have so much time left in my life to have it published. It doesn't need to happen tomorrow. I'll be fine.
And then you remember that, like, if you're in it for the long haul,
yeah,
you're going to be doing this for the rest of your life, which is such a beautiful thing. And it's like, oh, why am I in a hurry?
Right. Why do I need to be in a hurry? Just enjoy the place and the process I am right now. And because later on when it is published and things are different, I'll appreciate it.
I love that you're saying when it is published, because when I was crying, I was like, if somebody ever takes it, if someone, I was so negative.
I'm trying to be so positive, Julia. So
that's awesome. I love it. I really wish more authors and writers would do that, because I'm such a pessimistic person sometimes. I'm just like, well, if anybody wants this book.
What's so funny is that I feel like I'm a pessimist in like every other aspect of my life, but writing has like been the one constant throughout my whole entire life. And I like know that I'm very good at it, and that I have great stories to tell that people can relate to. So I feel like it is just a matter of time. Someday it'll happen, and I'm just trying to enjoy the place I'm at now with like my 5 different ideas of what to work on next.
that's actually how I feel most of the time. I'm like, I think that's kind of what got me to where I am, is I had this inner confidence in my, not only my ability, but just my passion. And I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
You have to, because otherwise you get 10 rejections and you give up.
Right.
Or you're like, well, maybe I'll do something else. I mean, it's the people that really want it,
who
that works hard for years.
Because it is hard, and you have to put in a lot of work toward it. It's not like something you can just like, oh, I'm going to lazily write something and then send it out to people and hopefully they like it. It's like, no, you really have to put in some hard work and a lot of time. And I have friends who are like, hey, you want to do something? I'm like, actually, no, like I have a self deadline for my book and I need to work on my edits. Like I try and be really like disciplined with making sure I write every day and focus on it.
That's so great. I'm more of like a procrastinator, and then when I have a deadline, I write in like 4 days, and I'm like, I'm done. Okay, here it is.
Sometimes I can do that. Like when I go on vacation, I make sure I don't write to give myself a little break and things like that. But I try, and I just like am too excited about it that I'm like, I need to get back in there.
Aw, that's writing. Awesome. I wish I was more like that all the time.
It's sometimes exhausting, and like last night, I had been editing all day, and then I wanted to watch a movie, and I grabbed my laptop and almost started editing while I watched the movie, and I was like, no, put your laptop down and just enjoy this hysterically bad movie, and you can edit tomorrow. Because sometimes I think I do it a little bit too much.
Well, because it's like in the back of your mind, it's like you've forgotten something, and it's really hard. When I was doing the edits for this book, I did them really, I did them in like 4 days.
Oh my goodness.
Which, I know, I didn't sleep. Like, I slept like during the day. It was wild.
That's crazy.
It was all I could think about. I was just so tunnel vision. I was like, I need to get back to my edits. I'd be like, sorry, Mom, I gotta get off the phone. Like, I need to edit. Yep. She'd be like, oh, okay. Like, and it was like all I did. I was so focused and I couldn't do anything else. It was impossible. And then I just went into this like zone. And obviously that was extreme because you have to like, you know, do other things during the day.
Right.
But like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, where it's like you can't relax. It's like anxiety. Yeah. If you don't write.
Yep. Because I feel like for me, writing has always been therapeutic. And so it's like, I just like feel like I've got, I don't know, you know, I just got to do it.
It's therapeutic and it's so intrinsically rewarding and it's so hard. And I mean, there's times when it's like very difficult therapy for sure, where you're like, I don't want to do this.
You have to like power through each word. You're like, I can't keep going, but you do. And you make it through eventually.
Are you someone who writes in a linear way? Like, narratively?
Yes.
I'm not.
Really?
No, it's terrible. It's not terrible. I actually realized a lot of other authors do that. But it's really hard for me because the third book I'm working on, I have the ending, I have the beginning, I have, honestly, a lot of what I need to do is fill in the middle.
That's crazy.
And it's so hard. And it's like I have a working outline in my brain at all times.
Yeah.
So I can somehow do it. But, and I get ideas and I'm like, this is a great scene. And that's how my first book actually started. It was just a bunch of scenes. It was a bunch of vignettes. They were loosely connected. There was no real like plot, which made it really hard to make it into a book, partly why I think when I queried, I would get a lot of like, there's no like strong plot here. And I was like, well, yeah, that's kind of how I wrote it. So I really had to go back and like, even when I did my revisions for my editor, like we had to do a lot of plot work because I'm like, I'm not good at logic. I'm good at like, you know, scenes and settings and characters. I don't really know how to, you know,
tie them all together.
Yeah. It's like, I can do it, but then I have to follow like logical rules. And I'm like, I don't know.
I love that though. I am the type of person, like, I just sit down, I have an idea, like a beginning in my head, and I sit down and I just write, and I don't even know the ending until, you know, like right before I write it.
Wow. See, I usually figure the ending out pretty much like in the beginning.
The ending is the hardest part for me.
Oh, because I have like an idea of where I'm going. Like, I kind of have like a, and then I can sort of map it in my brain. I'm like, all right, I think I want them to end up like this. And then I get excited about the ending. And then I drive to the ending in a way. If that makes sense.
I think that I should focus more on the ending because then I think I'd have less to do, like, in revisions. But I like to, like with my novel I did, When Jay Bird Went Missing, it's the crime fiction novel I wrote last year. I did not know the ending until right before I wrote it, and I had to do some, you know, threading back through the beginning to make it all work, but I don't know, I just like it when it comes organically to me, when, like, I wasn't even thinking about it, I was just, like, listening to music, walking to work, and then I was like, what? No, this is how it all needs to come together, and I don't even know how it came to my brain. That's kind of the best, though.
No, I think that's awesome, and when I write short stories, that often happens to me. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, and that's so fun to just figure it out. But I think you should do whatever works for you. Everyone has a different process. For sure. I don't think there's a one way.
No,
not at all.
Because our brains all work so differently. Like, if we all had to do it a certain way, there'd be a lot less writers.
And also if you're like writing in a prescribed way, you feel like you're in school, you don't feel like you're right, you know, you feel like you're writing an essay where you're like, okay, I guess I have to do this to get an A.
And essays were not my favorite to write in school. I procrastinated those until the very last second because I was like, this is the worst.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is I feel like when I got older and I realized what an essay could be, like, it could be so voice-driven and personal and anecdotal, they didn't teach us that, and I was like early college, I started to figure that out, and I was like, and then I incorporated that into my academic essays, and they did better because I had more voice and I had more narrative, even in very, like, academic papers, and I was like, this is why I didn't like essays, because I thought they were just A, B, C, D, you're done.
Because they taught us a very formulaic way to write them, and that was the only way that was acceptable.
And it's such a disservice, because it's like, that's not good writing. That's, no. I mean, obviously you need the building blocks, but,
yeah.
You know, and I see this all the time. It's like, for example, then this happens, mm-hmm. and this is because it's, and I would tutor these kids, and I'd be like, okay, tell me what you want to tell me. Like, tell me what you're trying to argue, and then write exactly what you said down. I want to hear it in your voice.
Right,
and
in
I would
your
be
own
like,
words.
I'd read their essay, and I'd be like, you don't speak like this. Tell me, like, say it. And I would be trying to explain that. I'd be like, say it exactly. And you can dress it up and make it, you know, academic. But first, I want you to get down what you want to say instead of just being like, here's a chunk of this, here's a chunk of that. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent, but
no, I love it. Because I think that's really important. Like, people, I think everyone should be able to write, but like, do it in a way that's true to them, not just how the world is like, oh, this is the only way you can write.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody has a voice. Everybody yeah. has an amazing voice. And once you bring that out of people, that you see them light up and they're just like, oh, I have something to say and I have a really cool way of saying it. And you're like, yes, keep going.
Please keep talking. Keep writing.
I know. And I feel like more people would be writers if
for sure.
we sort of encourage that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Because you are a mentor for girls right now in New York.
Yes.
That's awesome. I love that. Just
yeah.
trying to help and spread the wealth of your knowledge is great.
Oh, I mean, what little knowledge I have. But I mean, I'm in my second year, and it's fantastic. And it's a combination of, I meet with my mentee every week. We, like, meet at a coffee shop, or we get dinner. We go to, like, a meditation center. We do fun things. And she writes poetry, and she's just, I'm just constantly amazed by her. She's just so smart and, you know, just so creative and wise. And like, wow, I wish I was like you when I was it's fantastic. And then there's like, we do like monthly workshops. There's different themes. There's like fiction, poetry, and they have these great speakers come who are writers, and you just see these girls like light up because you're giving them the opportunity to read their work and express themselves, but you're also like saying, I want to hear what you have to say, and that's so great, and keep going, and that's so amazing. And it's such a wonderful organization. I highly recommend anyone. I think they have other branches of it. I think there's one in LA, but if anyone's has a girls right near them, I highly recommend getting involved.
That's so awesome. That's like, I love programs like that.
And then at the end of every session year, kind of, they publish an anthology that gets distributed by Penguin Random House.
Oh,
and
I love it.
And it's so great. And it's like every year there's a different theme, and they publish these girls' work. And I try to tell them, like, remember, like, you're going to be published. And they get so excited. And it's so cute. And I'm just like, if this were me in high school, this would be like, oh my God, this is the biggest deal ever.
Oh my gosh, I would have died over that in high school.
I would have died, yeah.
That's so awesome. I love programs that, in another way, there's a program here in Portland that they do like a rock camp for girls that I volunteered at.
That's so awesome.
And I just love the girls who are there and just how into it they are in being able to express themselves with the music. And it's like, I think it's really important just to give, like, just to put an emphasis on creativity and how important that is and expressing yourself. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a very Portland thing too. My sister yes. lives in Portland, Oregon, and I love Portland. It's so cool.
It's a very Portland thing.
It's so Portland, but I mean, maybe it'd be a little more Portland if it were like an underwater music class or something. Like, I don't know, but it sounds like a very, like, oh yeah, that's something that everybody's kid would be doing in Portland.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, I'm just going to rock camp, you know, like okay.
Like when I was a kid in Portland, I went to fashion camp, and we, you know.
I went to fashion camp.
Oh, fashion camp was the best. And we had like a little
I went to modeling camp.
Yes, we had like a little runway show.
Oh, yeah, we did too.
I love it. It was like one of my best memories of being a kid.
I still have my photo shoot photos. I was like a big fan of America's Next Top Model. So I would practice in the mirror. And then when I went to modeling camp, I was like, all right, girl, work it. Like, I was so
into it. Oh my gosh. My mom had me do audition to be a model up in Seattle when I was really young, and the pictures we took beforehand, like, for me to be a model were so bad. I was in, like, jeans and a t-shirt, but I was, like, killing the poses. I was like, I'm the best model in the world, because I watched America's Next Top Model, like, every single day. Oh,
that reminds me. I went to, I forget what it's called. It's something with a B, but it was some, like, modeling recruitment thing. Ooh. I went with my mom to that, and, like, I don't remember. I feel like we decided I wasn't that interested, but
Did they give you playing cards if you were chosen? Because that's what happened to me. Like, I went to some recruitment thing, and they, like...
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah.
I really hope it wasn't a scam. It might have been, but...
I think it probably was a scam, but, like...
It probably was.
I went to, like, the first round. They gave me a playing card, which meant that I get to go the second round, which was, like, a runway show in Seattle, which was super cool. And you did a little runway walk, and there was a bunch of agents of different model agencies around the runway. It was actually, like, a cool experience. I did not get chosen, but that's okay.
Oh, I think this one was, like... Yeah, it was the same thing. Like, they called me back for an interview, but my mom and I were like, yeah, but you have to pay. And we were like,
that's a
scam. I remember
scam.
Sitting in the kitchen with her and being like, this doesn't feel like legit.
That's a scam for sure.
Yeah, I mean, most things where they're like, oh, you've been chosen are probably, you know.
Yeah. Oh, good old modeling scams.
good old everything scams.
I know. Like, good old multi-level marketing scams and Panera.
Oh, my gosh.
Fine.
I just want to save people from those places. It's so painful to watch. And then I see people on Facebook who are like, I'm starting a business. And I'm like, no, please don't
do it.
All
the people who invite me to their Lip Sense groups and their LuLaRoe groups, I'm like, no,
oh God.
Please save your money. Don't spend your money.
Ugh. I'm going to go on record and say those leggings are hideous.
They're so hideous.
Like, those are ugly. And, like, the Jamberry nails. I'm like, guys, no one wants this crap.
No.
Like, you don't want this crap.
That's why you're trying to sell it, to give it away.
And they're like, oh, but if I buy it, then I can sell it. And I'm like, that makes no sense.
What I think is so sad is, like, I've read all this stuff about the LuLaRoe and, like, how they're just... If people, you know, close their business, they can't return the product for what
they
purchased
can't.
It for. And I'm like, that's so sad. People spend like tens of thousands of dollars. I'm like, why?
Oh, I know.
Why? No.
And the problem is they let these, like Mary Kay, like I went to a job fair and they were there. Mm. And I was like, this is not, why don't more people know about this?
I know.
Like, I think people just don't know.
No.
About it, because they just are oblivious, and then they see this stuff and they're like, oh, that's just my friend's like Tupperware business, and I'm like, that's that's sort of like what I mean. When I was in the Panera Bread and the guy was trying to recruit these kids, he was saying like, it's an e-commerce business, and like, you just basically spent, you know, you just buy your product, he said, your products exclusively, and then at the end of the month you save money. And I was like, what?
That doesn't even make sense.
I mean, he also kept name dropping. He name dropped J-Lo, which was really fun. He's like, I think J-Lo like advertises one of our products in Japan. It's like really cool and modern. I was like keeping notes of what he was saying, and I was sitting there eating my soup and just like my head was in my hands. I was so stressed out.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Poor kids. Let's just go on record. We don't do multi-level marketing. We don't sell leggings. We don't sell nail things.
Oh, my gosh. If something sounds too good to be true, it is.
Oh,
that's
sure.
What I would say to people.
Yeah, definitely. I saw this. Someone was telling me about this, like, writing company where you just go and you sign up and they give you writing jobs and you just make a bunch of money, even if you have no writing experience. And I was like, does that sound real? And she was like, I don't know, it kind of seems cool. I'm like, no, that sounds like a scam. Like, you have to pay to get into it. I'm like, that's not right.
It's sort of like when people think they need to pay agents. And I'm like, red flag. Or vanity presses and publishers. I actually interned for a notorious vanity publisher college. And I didn't know it was a vanity. I figured it out while I was there. but she ended up getting taken down, I think. Like, she was, I don't know if the feds were involved. There was some big thing, and I read about it years later, and I was like, this is so funny.
That's crazy.
It is. Yeah, I forget about it, but it was, like, my senior year of college. I was in Pittsburgh. I went to University of Pittsburgh, and I really wanted to get a publishing internship, but there's, like, not that many publishing internships in Pittsburgh. But my school recommended me this place.
Oh, no.
And it was called Sterling House. Yeah, and it was run by a woman named Cynthia Sterling, and it was a total scam. And she was like, she have me, she'd be like, when you're in a meeting with me, I need you to take notes. And she was a character. And I started realizing that, like, all these books were really poorly written, poorly edited vanity books. And there were just so many of them. And she was like, I'd be talking to her about my ideas for young adult literature, because that's what I was into. And she'd be like, oh, yeah, that's great. I'm going to start an imprint with that name that you gave me. And I was like, that's not how it was.
What?
Oh, it was wild.
That's
and I
crazy.
Wasn't paid, obviously. And then I went on Absolute Right, like, years later, and I learned so much about this woman. And I was like, oh, my God, I was her intern. I'm famous.
You were,
I was complicit
history.
In her crimes.
Yeah, you were.
A little bit. I figured it out, though, while I was working there. I was like, this is not a legit publisher. No. This is, like, a woman in an office with, like, her secretary who's, like, down on her life, just like, hey, yeah, I designed the covers too. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. That is just,
it
really makes me sad when people fall for that and they think it's, like, the best thing in the world, but I'm like, no, don't do it.
I know. And then also, when you have a book coming out, people are like, oh, my friend published a mm-hmm. book. And I'm like, really? What? Where did they publish it? And I'm, like, hoping they're going to say it was either, like, self-published
right.
or through a reputable house. And they're like, oh, it was, like, this place in, you know, in Tulsa that, like, you know, no offense to Tulsa, I'm just picking
yeah,
a random place, but it was like,
Tulsa.
Was this place? And they, like, told them that if they, you know, and in their book, they're trying to sell it to their friends. And I'm like, oh, no. This is a vanity press.
That's so sad.
It is, and it's so sad because it's a lot of, like, I get a lot of, on Twitter, I get a lot of vanity press authors who follow me, and they're like, buy my book, and they have, like, 500,000 followers. They follow, like, 500,000 people.
Yeah.
And I look, and I'm like, oh, that's what this is. Right. Okay. And I feel bad because they're, like, ordinary people
right.
who are like, I really want to write a book.
And their book might, you know, not be terrible, but it's,
it
like,
might be good.
It might be really good, but it's when you choose to go that route, that kind of is really sad.
It is very sad. And then they go to, like, the conferences, and they, like, pay to have their book. They pay to go to these, like, book expos, and I'm just like, this is not. They're like, buy the diamond package, and you can get 1,000 copies of your book. I'm like, this is so, no.
No.
It is hard, and I think that's, like, why I get a lot of people who find out I'm a writer, and they sometimes they're really like, oh, I want to write something. Do you have any advice? And I'm like, do your research.
Yeah.
Do your research, because I can't stress that enough. I mean, I did end up querying a few scam agents without realizing they were, and I figured it out, but, like, it's because I did my research.
Right.
But and,
yeah.
It's, you have to just be so cautious. And a good agent will answer all your questions regarding their career. Like, they won't be defensive. They won't. And even if they offer you representation and you're like, I don't know if this agent is legitimate, like, a good agent will say, oh, let me refer you to my clients. Like, let me
right.
tell you everything you need to know. They won't get mad.
They're not going to be like, well, you're a jerk and I'm a real person.
No, they're going to be like, oh, thank you for doing your homework.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad you're vetting me, because I would want to do the same. So it's like,
yeah,
I it makes me so sad. And I just wish, and then there's also these, like, people who pretend to be agents, but they're really, I actually interned for one of those people too. I won't name names, but I had a really wild beginning.
You had some good internships. Yeah.
And she, like, made me walk her dog.
Oh my gosh.
I think I lasted, like, 3 weeks. It was, like, a quote-unquote internship where I wasn't paid. It was, like, at her house.
Oh my gosh.
It was a mess. But she ran an editing service, an editorial service, and there are legitimate editorial services. But she was an agent, too, so there was a huge conflict of interest
yeah.
where she would, like, if she rejected your manuscript, she'd recommend, like, the package or something.
That seems a little dirty.
What I was reading, I thought I was going to read her clients' manuscripts, but I was reading her clients' manuscripts, like the ones that were rejects. Oh. And she's like, everyone deserves a shot, don't you think? And I was like, well, this is, and I didn't want to say, like, this is one of the worst things I've ever read. And I was just like, well, you know, I don't know if this is, like, I'm like thinking, like, how is this woman so wealthy? And, like, it was very bizarre. And I think she did have reputable client. Like, she was an agent, right. Like, legit, but she also ran this shady business. And I was just like, wow, this is really,
I think that the importance of doing research is just because it is a business, and there are people out there who don't have your best interest in mind, like that lady, who is clearly, like, using the rejects as a way to just make money. So it's, like, it's very important to do research and find people who truly care about you and aren't trying to just, like, take you for your buck.
Right. And I think it's also because we deal with so much rejection, yeah. That one yes feels so special. And it's like, you don't want to crush people's dreams, whether it's like an MLM scam or mm-hmm. whatever, but you have to be like, listen, like, you know, it's a business. If it really is a business, you got to approach it like a business and ask the hard questions.
For sure. Oh, well, I feel like I've learned so much from your crazy internship experiences. And, I have one last question for you. I just love to know what other people are reading, but what's your favorite book right now that you're reading or have read in the last little bit?
Okay. It's a hard question. It's like, what's your favorite movie? And I'm like, I rattle off like 20 movies.
Just your like favorite book of the month. Like,
oh, I mean, I was going to say that I've been reading the ARCs or the ARCs of my debut group. Ooh. And there we have it's called the Electric 18s, and it's this amazingly supportive debut community for 2018, and every year there's sort of like a kid-lit debut group that's self-maintained and self-started, and we do an ARC tour. I call them ARCs, but we do a tour where we send each other ARCs and like we circulate them.
That's awesome.
So I've read some amazing debuts already that have not come out, and that will come out.
Yeah.
But one of them is Nothing Left to Burn by Heather Ezell. And it was incredible. The prose was amazing. That book just took me on a journey. And I think it comes out in March, like mine does. And that was amazing. And then I read People Like Us by Dana. I'm going to butcher her last name, but M-E-L-E. Dana's wonderful, and I loved that book. It was like almost like a Pretty Little Liars meets, it was like an LGBTQ Pretty Little Liars at a boarding school, and a thriller and like a murder mystery.
Oh, that sounds like everything I love.
It's so good. I highly recommend it. Okay. And then I read Always, Forever, Maybe. And I mean, I've just been reading all these, and I think those are my favorite books right now. I'm reading The Accidental Bad Girl by Maxine Kaplan, which comes out in May. And it's like a YA noir, and it's so funny and feminist. And like, let's just say there's some really good books coming out this year.
Oh,
so those are all my favorites right now, are the ones I've been reading.
I love to, those are such good ones, and I'll make sure to put those on my to-be-read list, even though my pile is, like, a little bit out of control right now. I'm going to add them on there.
Everyone's pile's out of control. My literal house pile is out of control. I have books that I'm like, I'll read this,
eventually.
And I buy them, and I put them on my,
Yeah. I have, like, I'm beta reading a novel for someone, and then I've got an ARC to read of someone's, and I'm just trying to, like, keep up with my normal reading. But I'm, like, I've been reading since I could read, and I'm really fast at it, so at least I have that in my back pocket.
Yeah, same. I mean, and then I have to be like, oh, wait, I gotta finish this beta read. Oh, dear.
Just a lot of things going on, but that's fine. That's the life we live.
I love it. I love reading all this stuff. Yes. I think it's the best.
I think I feel like it really helps my writing to read other people's, and that's something that I love doing, is just being like, how are other people doing it? How are these other stories going? Because sometimes then it'll make me see maybe like a hole in something I'm doing, or like something that could be strengthened in my own story, that I'm like, oh yeah, this will make it even better. But I feel like I sometimes just need a little refresh with my brain and to read a book that's just something crazy and different than what I would be writing.
Oh, absolutely. Or you see someone enter a story in a way that you didn't think, oh, yeah, like I can do that. There's like a technique and you're like, well, that's cool.
I'm going to do something similar. Not going to steal it, but it's going to inspire me.
They say good artists borrow, great artists steal. So yeah. I don't fully understand that quote, but I assume it means that you borrow good ideas and make them your own.
I love it. Well, those are all my questions. This has been like the best conversation, and we've been talking for an hour. That's so crazy.
That's awesome. It doesn't feel like it's been an hour.
I know, but I really appreciate you talking to me and just kind of sharing your journey of, you know, querying and, you know, what to focus on, because while I think that's definitely something that I was just like, I'm going to put down every agent possible, but to focus on, you know, the top agents I want kind of lessens my stress a little bit.
Yeah, and obviously query widely, but you know what you want to as a client, I think, is important.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Julia.